I introduce to you Joel Werner, a journalist and a co-author of the book that just came out a couple of months ago, The Humor Code. Those of you who were here for the last lecture heard Peter McGraw speak about it, who co-authored this book with Joel. And I will leave it at that I'm really absolutely interested in what Joel has to say from a journalist's perspective of where does humor and laughter and real world crises come in. Going to be very experiential, so I'll turn it over to Joel. Thank you. Whatever you want.
Who knows what this means? Pause. Anyone else? Who thinks they know what this means? Any thoughts? I'll show it again, in case you missed it. Flipping us the bird? No. This is the Hawaiian good luck sign. Let me explain what I mean by that. January 1968. North Korea captures off its coast the USS Pueblo, a US spy boat. The North Koreans take the 82 sailors of the USS Pueblo captive, put them in a prison, don't really bother to feed them and begin to torture them, threatening to kill them if they don't confess to their crimes. Now at this point, the US was in the depths of the Vietnam War, and the administration decided that one international quagmire was enough for now. And so essentially, there was no rescue effort at first. These sailors were being left to their fate. Talk about stress. This, to me, is where things get interesting with the story. Or maybe, like to say, things get funny. These captives start coming up with nicknames for the prison guards, like Wheezy, for the translator who would cough and wheeze through his very poor English translations. When the guards would tell the captives to march right, the captives would march left, straight into the wall. They ended up urinating in all the plants throughout the prison until they all died. Then they did the same thing with an apple they left out for the guard who kept trying to steal their food. In the forced letters that they had to write home confessing to their crimes, the captive said, "Say hello to a lot of crock of shit for me." The captain of the boat, in a forced television confession, said it was his fervent desire to pee on the North Koreans, which of course technically meant he wanted to celebrate them, but it sure sounded like he just wanted to pee on everybody. And then most importantly, there was the digit affair. At some point in their captivity, the sailors realized that the North Koreans had no idea what the middle finger meant. So they started using it every chance they got. They flashed a bird to each other. They flipped off the guards. And eventually, in almost every publicity photo that the North Koreans sent around the world showing their humane treatment of these captives, the sailors would sneak in a little middle finger. Eventually, the captain of the prison, the commander of the prison, gathered all the sailors together and said, "What does this mean?" The captain of the USS Pueblo gets up and says, "Why, it's the Hawaiian good luck sign." And on they went. Unfortunately, eventually the North Koreans realized what the middle finger really meant. And that's what launched for the sailors what they came to be known as Hell Week. The worst torture they faced, around-the-clock beatings. When they weren't being beat, they were forced to sit in chairs for hours and hours with their heads bowed and their hands between their legs. I learned about all this from Alvin Plucker, one of the 82 prisoners who now lives outside of Greeley, who has become the unofficial historian of what's been known as the USS Pueblo incident. And according to Alvin, they never regretted using humor during their captivity, even though it led to Hell Week. And even after Hell Week, they continued to use humor during their captivity for the rest of the 11 months that North Koreans held them captive before they were finally released. And this to me brings up a really interesting question. Why is it that we as humans feel the need to use humor in this way in possibly the worst circumstances imaginable, even though we know it could land us into even more danger or worse, our very lives. These sailors' lives could have been at stake, and they kept using humor. And I think there's a couple reasons why they did so. I think the first is that humor can be a powerful tool or even a weapon against the things or people that trouble us. I learned this from a man named Sergei Popovich, who was the founder of something called OTPOR, which was the student activist group in Serbia who was integral in the overthrow of Slobodan Milosevic in the year 2000. Sergei teaches classes here at Colorado College of Colorado Springs about once a year, and I went down to visit him a couple years ago. And he told me that he believed that one of the key tools that he and his fellow OTPOR activists used to overthrow the tyrant was something he called laughtivism, which is infusing their protests with humor. On Milosevic's birthday, OTPOR baked a giant cake of Yugoslavia and then carved it up just like Milosevic had disastrously carved up the region. And according to Popovich, there were three reasons why humor was key, why laughtivism was key. The first was by laughing at Milosevic, it helped the people of Serbia to break down the fear barrier that was paralyzing them to act out against this leader. The second thing was that all of these laughing, prank organizing activists made the movement seem cool. Or as Popovich told me, if you didn't get arrested in the year 2000, you couldn't get laid. Finally, they were key to what Popovich called dilemma actions. These were strategies that no matter how Milosevic responded, he would end up looking stupid. For one of these strategies, OTPOR painted Milosevic's face on a giant barrel and then offered Serbian citizens a chance to whack the barrel with a stick. Right? Who wouldn't want to do that? So Milosevic, of course, didn't like this. So he immediately sent out his police force to go confiscate the prop. And that allowed OTPOR to release a big statement to the world saying, Milosevic's police have done it again. They have diligently arrested the barrel. So either way, either Milosevic was going to end up letting people laugh at him, or he might look even worse, look like he couldn't take a joke. And I think this is one of the reasons why the captives of the USS Pueblo used humor. It was a weapon against their captors. It was a way to make the North Koreans look stupid, and maybe the only weapon they had. But I don't think this was the only reason they used humor. I think the other reason comes down to what we're talking about today, which is it was a form of them coping with their ordeal. And in fact, psychological tests of Alvin and his colleagues after they were finally released, after their 11 months, suggested that humor was one of the main ways that they coped with being held as prisoners of war. And time and again, studies have shown this, that humor is this incredibly powerful coping mechanism. In one study, children at a hospital, right before they went to surgery, interacted with a hospital clown. And these children were found to show significantly less anxiety about their operation than even children who were given anti-anxiety medication. In another, slightly more twisted study, participants were asked to watch a 13-minute safety video showing grisly woodmill accidents. Some of our participants were asked to create a humorous monologue describing what happens in this horrible video. Those people were shown to show significantly less signs of anxiety than those who just had to watch this horrible video. And to me, what might be the most touching study of all, widowers 6 months after the death of their spouses were interviewed, and those who were able to laugh and joke about their departed loved ones showed significantly less signs of depression in the years that would come. And so for the book The Humor Code, we looked at why is it that humor can become this powerful coping mechanism in these horrible instances of trauma. We came down to three potential reasons why humor can help people cope. The first is that humor engenders positive feelings and emotions, so it can create the psychological buffer between you and the thing that troubles you. The second thing is that humor draws a crowd. People like being around people who laugh and joke. So it's a way to bring a support group in to help you with your troubles. But I think the most important way that humor helps you cope is in the very act of making something funny. If you look at the stand-up industry in this country, for decades, it's been largely dominated by minorities. Jewish Americans, African Americans, now a lot of Muslim Americans. And I think that's because oftentimes the best comedians are on some level outsiders. People who have one foot in the mainstream and one foot outside. People who can take a step back from reality and say, what makes this funny? And I think that is really key to think about how we create humor. It's that we escape from a moment from the problems of our daily lives, big and small, and say, not what's wrong with the situation, but what's funny about it. Think about Jerry Seinfeld and his, what's up with this weird airline food? Right? Instead of just complaining about it, you think about what makes it funny. I think that is the key to using humor as coping. I think that's exactly why Alvin Plucker and his fellow USS Pueblo captives used humor, even in the face of possible death, was because it allowed them an escape just for a moment by flashing the Hawaiian good luck sign. Thank you.